going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Quintessential, inconsequential issue, but in the grand scheme of things, I mean, how we're still grandfathering in guys from COVID, right? That are,
I mean, Blake,
somehow
who,
still hanging around.
See, there's a kid that played at Memphis, Antoine Jones, maybe some like there's he's going to have an eighth year.
Yeah, I mean, T.J. Finley, I saw is transferring from Tulane. How many different programs has T.J. Finley played for?
Apparently, one more.
Apparently one more if someone will have him. Like, yeah, and so that's where I'm just like, is this the thing that's going to cause this whole this settlement that there's been so much painstaking work gone into? Is this going to cause this to crumble? I don't know. I'm kind of 60-40 in that cooler heads will prevail and they'll deliver the compromise that that the judge has asked for here. But I don't know. You get these academic types, you know, these ADs and presidents and NCAA types. I mean, they live in fantasy land sometimes. They're not real great at dealing with the real world, which is why, you know, college sports and individual colleges find themselves in the situations they're in a lot of times, right? They're not real skilled in operating in courtrooms. They're not real skilled in operating in business. And we see that time and time again with these erudite academic types. And so who knows? Maybe they just, it seems so apparent to you and I that, like, this is what the judge wants, and if you don't give it to her, you're not going to get your way.
I mean, she said it in the hearings. It wasn't like, yeah. You know, like, it's not like this was, oh, she just brought this up. It's like, no, she, like, stopped the hearings and was like, this is a problem.
Like, yeah. I just always say, though, when you're dealing with academic types and you're dealing with the NCAA, like, all bets are off, right? They just don't understand sometimes how the real world operates, and they're stunned every time they go into a courtroom and lose. And it's like, if you guys have not been paying attention to what's happening off your campus, off your college campus, this little world that you've created for yourself. So who knows? I think cooler heads will prevail here, and they'll serve up the compromise that she asked for. But like I said, it's always a wild card when you're dealing with academia.
Well, I mean, like, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, what happens if they don't take it out? Does this go to trial?
Yeah, I think it would, right?
Like, because that's the whole point of a settlement,
to
avoid
trial.
So it goes to trial, and it's like, if it goes to trial, you're going to lose, and it's going to be the end of it. It's like, maybe, is that the end game? It's like, I guess we'll just go to trial, have the system blown up, and restart. It's like, it just seems so insane to me that this was like the line in the sand. It's like do you want the deal done or not?
Yeah, I totally agree, and I don't think there's any four-dimensional chess going on here. Like, I don't think this is a, well, actually, what we want to do is blow up the settlement at the 11th hour because we want to go to trial. If it were someone else, I might think, like, okay, maybe there's some underwater 4D chess going on here, but nah.
Nah, not with these.
No one who, there's yeah, no one who we're dealing with here, there's no underwater 4D chess. This is... If they shoot themselves in the foot and blow this settlement, and it comes to trial, they'll shoot themselves in the foot again, and then they'll be left crying about how nothing ever goes their way, about how the deck's stacked against them, and please, you know, Congress, throw us a Hail Mary, and Congress will laugh at them like they usually do.
Blake, have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer, of course, of USA Today Sports. Want to remind you, if you're thinking about getting engaged, go do what I did. Go see my friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the number one spot to buy engagement rings because you get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a full collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. Also, you can do what I did, which was do the custom-made engagement ring. If you can dream it, they can make it come to life. All you have to do is show them something as simple as a picture, a drawing, a concept that you have in your mind. You can go and work with them, and they'll make a never before worn ring. You can also do so with peace of mind. They have the meant to be guarantee. That means that for any reason, if you're unhappy with your purchase, you can get it back at the full purchase price. Also, they have free ring sizing for life. And don't forget about their free jewelry spa service. You can also ask her now and pay later with financing like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers has been in business here in the local area for over 4 decades, and they are becoming a trusted name for generations of families here in the area. 5 locations, Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, as well as 2 locations over in Little Rock. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get into the draft. We haven't talked about it full night from night one. There was just so much to get into. We'll do that next right here on The List. Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Zen Sports app is getting a major upgrade soon. They'll be launching the new state-of-the-art VIP Play app later this month, and you'll be able to bet on more than 200 sports leagues and parlay nearly every bet offered, period. I'll also have my own we'll have my own special same-game parlays featured, as will many of your other favorite sports talk hosts throughout the state. So head on over to zensports.com/VIP Play to learn more and to claim an early welcome bonus offer on VIP Play when it launches later this month. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Ja Morant. All right, Tim, before we get to the NFL draft, I hope everybody is sitting down for this. Not that it was that big of a surprise, but according to Sham Sharani and Tim McMahon of ESPN, Grizzlies' Ja Morant will miss Saturday afternoon's Game 4 because of the left hip injury he suffered in Memphis's loss to the Thunder on Thursday night. The Grizzlies are on the brink of elimination. No team in NBA history has overcome a 3-0 deficit to win the playoff series. Again, it's official news, but I don't know of anyone that thought this was even a possibility of him playing.
Am I wrong in saying that it was the same hip that he had injured early in the year? I mean, I know.
So they asked Tuomas about it after the game,
yeah,
and he was non-committal. So I don't know if it was the same or not.
Okay, because I know it's not a re-injury. Like, I don't think he re-dislocated his hip, but I mean, to an already like pre-existing hurt area, it's not helpful.
Tim, where do you come down? Like, I guess on the play itself.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Lou Dort play. I don't know. I didn't think it was dirty.
He slipped. I mean, that's to me, the one thing you could say is, all right, maybe it was kind of a try-hard move. It was like a 2-on-1. He could have given up, but it's like, I don't know, man. It's the playoffs.
Here's my thing with it, especially when they do go to review it, and there are other reviews, I mean, not just in this game, in this series, but across the league for upgraded fouls, is to me, it feels more reckless / dangerous. And again, I don't think it's dirty. I don't think it was intentional. I don't think there was anything like that. But if you go back and look at the rule for an upgrade to a flagrant, there is nothing in there about
intent.
It is purely what happens on the floor.
It was, Tim, there was a, because I don't know how closely you were watching because you were doing your show, there was like the unfortunate reality of like, he slips, and because of that, like they clearly stated, he slipped, therefore, because there was no intention, no flagrant. And then, like, 90 seconds later, you had Scottie Pippen getting charged with a flagrant for the, you know, the space or whatever. Did he kick his leg out? I think he kicked.
Yeah, he kicked his leg out on a.
And you're like, really? That's a flagrant, and the other one isn't. But it's like, I mean, they interpreted the rule book.
Yeah, I think. Look, I'm not going to get into like flagrant versus non-flagrant. I think that it feels like it's how the wind blows, and obviously, I think it sucks. I just think it's a crappy situation. We've all played sports, obviously not the level that these guys are playing it at, but you look at the play and Lou Dort, who's one of the best defenders in the NBA. And to your point, man, like it's what, 67-40 at that point in the second quarter. It's a playoff game. If it's the regular season, does Lou Dort stop and try to make a play? I don't know. Maybe not, but it's the playoffs and you get a behind the back pass. What's Lou Dort supposed to do? He's falling. And it sucks. It's just an unfortunate situation. It led to an injury. But I know I'm sure Grizzly fans thought it was a dirty play. I think I'm pretty impartial here. I just don't think it was a dirty play. I think it was a basketball play.
I'm with you. I think it was really unfortunate. I mean, it's
yeah, I don't think it's dirty.
I mean, I think the problem is now you have three playoff series that feel like they're getting impacted. Now, do I really think Tatum getting undercut and like, is that going to cost the Celtics? No, but the other flip side of this is, I mean, Jimmy Butler, like that play might, if Jimmy Butler's not going to be a factor, like that completely changes the math for me of whether or not I think that the Warriors can beat the Rockets.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, I think is going to be out for game
three. It seems like it's not looking good for game three. Although I never know like how much of this sometimes is like storytelling, like it's not looking good. And then he'll play. It's like, what a hero's effort.
Also, speaking of injuries, Jason Tatum and Drew Holiday were not seen as the team arrived in Orlando tonight.
Yeah, I think they're both out. Let's see.
The line is short, so it would tell you that probably not going to. It's still 3.5 in favor of Boston, but I mean, here's the thing, man. If you're Boston, you're up 2-0. They're up 2-0, right?
Yes.
It's Orlando. I mean, I know it's the playoffs. You shouldn't think this way, but like, it's Orlando. Come on, what are we doing here?
Well, I think the other thing is like you've got to do whatever you can to make sure. Like, this is kind of the problem that I have with the East, where it's like, wake me up when the Cavs and Celtics play. I mean, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Indiana's been pesky. By the way, Milwaukee, a 5.5-point favorite. I mean, I said it on, Tuesday when we did the show. I was like, I like the Pacers here. And usually, like, we mentioned this a lot on VSiN. You know, it's called the zigzag, right?
Yeah.
If team loses, you bet the other side. Yeah. And you get these inflated lines. And, you know, look, it came home last night. If you took the Knicks -1.5, they won by 2. But I was like, wait, what? Why are the Knicks a favorite? Now the Knicks are an underdog at Detroit. So a lot of this is baked in. But on Tuesday night, you and I think we're like, I think Indiana's just better.
Yeah.
And they are. Now, tonight could be different. Like, you could get that home court just incredible atmosphere, especially, I mean, here's the X factor. Is Matthew Golden going to be there? Come on now.
That's a real question out there. I mean, let's do it. The NFL draft. I mean, it is. I think it would have been funnier if they would have done it 2 years ago, like the first year where Rodgers was. The first year Rodgers was gone. I think it would have been funnier if they would have taken one in the first round. But I mean, it's pretty funny overall. I thought it was a pretty good watch. Like, there's one thing that I absolutely love about the NFL is. When the NFL thinks of itself as like the fifth branch of the military, there's just nothing better. Tim, we had a flyover for the NFL draft. A flyover. Multiple helicopters. And then
I just want to say this. Think about where this event has come. So first you get the footage of like Kuiper in like a Sheraton ballroom.
Yes.
And like, didn't they get cut off in like the middle of the second round to go to like
they went to like bass fishing or something like that.
Bass fishing or like roping of bulls or something crazy like that.
The microphone didn't work when they announced the first pick.
Last night?
No, that was in the very first time. It was like the ultimate like not ready for primetime moment.
Yeah. And I remember in college, because I've loved the NFL draft for a long time, and now that I can bet it, it's just like on steroids of my love for this event. I remember sitting on a Saturday in the spring just on my couch and watching the draft, and people be like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what? It's the NFL draft. They're like, who cares? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm going to sit here, see who gets picked in the third round by the Redskins. It's become a spectacle. I mean, there were 205,000 people in Green Bay, bleeping Wisconsin last night for a choose 'em up.
I mean, it all started for me, though. There's nothing better than just that hard-hitting interview that Greeny does with Goodell to start. And Greeny starts the interview just being completely blown away by the fact that Green Bay in the last census only had like 106,000 residents, but there are going to be 250,000 fans here. What does that say about the power of the NFL? It's like, Mike, are you aware that like you just described like half of college football stadiums? Like these college towns, like all of a sudden they've got like three times the amount of people. Like I know it's mind-blowing, but turns out we'll show up for football.
We do show up for football, but these drafts, and it's almost like...
By the way, pre-taped the Goodell interview.
Did they?
They pre-taped it.
He was on McAfee today. I didn't watch it.
It's just,
but...
like, the amount of just, like, protecting of Goodell. Goodell
Mr.
riding...
Mr. Commissioner, you have done such a great job.
Goodell riding the bike in.
Yeah.
It's just...
So I didn't have the sound on... Clay Matthews was a little much.
I'm not even doing like I'm not even from the political factor. Like, it was just a wildly unfunny thing.
I didn't. What did he say?
He's like, I just spoke with the president because I guess you know he's a big Trump guy, and he's like, I just spoke with the president and he said the Bears still suck.
Funny.
It's like, what else you got? You got better writers than this?
I mean, everyone's trying to be. Look, say what you will about McAfee. Set the bar however many years ago when he made the pick for the Colts. Was that in Nashville? Was it in Nashville? I think it was.
I think that was the Nashville
division
one.
Rival. Yeah, because they're division rivals.
Yeah, yeah.
And he destroyed it. And it will never top that.
See, like, I didn't mind like some of the Packers fans getting into like the Bears still suck and booing the Bears pick. Like, I'm all in with that. It's just I just found it as like I don't know. I found it wildly unfunny.
As for the choose 'em up, I mean, I'm always entertained by it. I love it. I mean, I'm with you.
I'm a draft guy. I've always loved the draft. I was not in on this one. And last night, maybe it's because my expectations were low. I was like, this is a good watch. I thought last night was a good watch.
You know, and we get the trade early on. Like, I'll say one thing is that, because we knew Cam Ward was going to Tennessee, man, have we ever overlooked a number one overall pick of a quarterback more ever? Have we even talked about it?
So this is because the other thing, like when we're saying sports should be fun, I think the Shador narrative is one of the most annoying narratives out there.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on it.
So we can get in because I'm with you. So I've never seen a draft that was so dictated by a prospect that we had no idea where he was going. The best example I could think of was Manziel's draft, but I don't feel like Manziel controlled the whole draft. Like as he was falling and falling, like that became a story, but we see that all the time. I mean, this entire thing is just the Shador draft, and you know, it's going to probably continue on tonight. I know you've got some info, but I'm with you. Like the Cam Ward story, it makes no sense to me because this is honestly like red meat for media. This is a successful black quarterback going number one. This guy took two programs that stunk, an Incarnate Word in Washington State, and made them good. And then he goes to Miami where he's playing with an elite roster, and he damn near breaks every possible record that was out there. Like, he was incredible. And there was kind of the cool moment of, like, you saw when it finally hit him. Like, he's known he's going number one for a long time, but, like, he kind of broke down a little bit. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Nothing. Crickets.
Yeah. It's There's so many things about the Cam Ward because, and look, I'm guilty of it because I talk about it on my network, right? We're all about gambling. So it's all about the intrigue. Hey, where's Ashton Jeanty going to go? Those odds have shifted. Mason Graham, is he falling, right? Do we believe that Will Campbell will be the fourth pick? We didn't even talk about Cam Ward for the past month because we knew he was going to Tennessee. There was no, you know, betting value, but you nailed it when it comes to this story. The guy had zero FBS offers, ladies and gentlemen. He went to an FCS program that 99% of America has never heard of. He had this prolific offense. He goes to Washington State, balls out there, and now he's the number one overall pick. Like, this story is insane. The dude had, it was a zero-star recruit, and he's the number one pick in the NFL draft.
It's insane.
And crickets. We don't talk about it. Nothing. Like, a guy who started in the FCS is now the number one pick in the draft. I don't know if you saw it. Super cool moment today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even care if this was, like, orchestrated. Like, I thought that was awesome.
Super cool. Warren Moon.
Because it also brings attention to, like, everyone needs to know, Warren Moon was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Undrafted.
Started in the CFL.
Yeah. But they, for those that don't know, so even though Warren Moon was a Oiler, right, the number one is retired for the franchise. And they'd kind of been putting the breadcrumbs out there this week of if Cam asked, would Warren be okay with him wearing number one? And then today when they introduced him at the press conference, that he had the number one Cam Ward jersey. Like, he presented it to him. I thought that was cool.
I thought it was really cool. Yeah, unique moment. A lot of pressure, but...
Maybe that's how Cam wants it. Like, hey, you know what? It's going to be hard enough playing quarterback in the NFL. If they're going to talk about something else, like, cool. Because so, I said this when we were talking with Blake. I don't really believe strongly in any of these guys. I do think if I have to take a quarterback, I would have taken Cam. I think Cam has the highest upside. But do I also, like, I can envision a world where Cam Ward is very good. I can also envision a world where Cam can't get over the turnovers and, you know, he's not a starter in 4 or 5 years. But it's just so banana land to me, the narratives coming out about Shador, when it seems quite simple. Number one, when you put on the tape, you watch a player that is extremely well coached, but you have some questions about his physical gifts. He does not have a big arm. He, you know, at times he can hold on to the ball, but he knows how to play quarterback. But when you are basically a fringe first-round prospect, and then you, all that comes with it, you're not good enough to overcome that. And then you contrast that with Jackson Dart, who treated the whole thing like it was a job interview, where meeting with every team, trying to put his best foot forward. It doesn't mean that Shador's destined to a career of not being successful. This is the other thing that has annoyed me. Sometimes it's okay to fall in the draft. It was better for Aaron Rodgers to fall to the Packers than it was for Alex Smith to go to the Niners. And if he winds up going to Vegas, that's what the odds are?
The betting odds are saying that, yeah.
I mean, you get to sit behind Geno. You don't have all the pressure. You play an indoor stadium.
Really good offensive coordinator in Chip Kelly.
It usually, if you fall a little bit, that means they've gotten a couple other pieces around you.
So here I've got, because I've said this a million times in this show, and there's always a black and white, right? And that's what happens in take land.
Yes.
There's the takes of, this is outrageous. This is a catastrophe. Collusion against Dion and his son. And then there's the other people dunking on Shador. Ha ha ha! I guess the number two is for round two. And it's like, you do know that the Super Bowl MVP this year was a second round pick. It's not the end of the world. And I think, I said it on this show, was it last week? I think Shador Sanders reminds me of Kirk Cousins. And I know
you did.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Kirk Cousins is a nerdy white dude, and Shador Sanders is, you know, a pretty cool, it seems, a black guy.
And maybe the biggest star right now, like in college sports, I understand why we talk about him because it is Shedeur Sanders, but it's
he's huge. He's a huge star. And the fact of the matter is, if you watch Colorado, you know a couple things about him. Super smart. I think he's a very smart quarterback. I think he'll pick up the system.
100% agree.
Goes.
Yeah, I think he's accurate.
He's insanely accurate. He was number one in the country in accuracy this year. Wow. You know who does that? Kirk Cousins. You know who doesn't have a big arm? Kirk Cousins. You know who was also a really productive quarterback before going to Atlanta? Kirk bleeping Cousins. Now, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but yeah, that's hard to find. If he goes tonight in the second round to the Raiders, or I don't think it'll be the Saints, I don't think it'll be the Browns, but it could be a good situation for him. And it's not the end of the world if you're a second-round pick. Well, Drew Brees was a second-round pick.
If he goes to the Raiders, I've always said this. I think history has been a little bit kinder to Pete Carroll, and maybe it's going to be a little harsher on Bill Belichick. Because guess what Pete Carroll did? Where are all the Russ defenders? Where's Mr. Unlimited's PR camp when it turns out maybe Pete was right? Hey, I know what this guy can do. We got to have a good run game for him, and we got to get play action shots, let him throw it down the field. But we don't need to let him cook. This isn't a guy that throws it 50 times a game. Pete Carroll's probably, if that's where Shedeur winds up, he's going to probably do right by Shedeur.
Now, the one thing I do hope for Shedeur Sanders is that if, let's just, for argument's sake, say it's the Raiders tonight at 37. I just hope he kind of comes in. They'll do a press conference, obviously, and just be like, hey, it is what it is. I'm excited to be a Raider and move forward. Don't make it a big, like, 36 teams passed on me. Like, don't make it a bigger deal. And then you could think that internally, but, and I think he's smart enough to realize that. Just be like, hey, it's the NFL draft. I'm honored to be a Raider or whatever. And go out and be Geno Smith's backup. And then at some point, maybe be a starter this year, maybe be a starter next year, and potentially you're in a good situation. So, yeah, I thought the takes on both sides were just insane. You know, they showed, what, his empty chair on the draft coverage. I thought that was ridiculous. But I wasn't surprised to see him fall out of the first round from everything you heard. Once the Steelers passed on him at 21, I was like, he's not going in the first round.
Yeah, and so that, of course, I've been getting questions. How do I feel about the Giants? So George, off the air when we were leaving yesterday, goes, what would make you the least annoyed? Because George at least understands. I'm probably not going to be happy with the Giants, but what would be the least annoying? And I was like, don't mess around. Take Abdul Carter. He is one of the clear, this guy can play. Don't mess around. Take Abdul. And because I wasn't in love with any of the quarterbacks, I was like, and probably don't trade back in and take a quarterback. With that said, Mr. Unlimited isn't the future. And as much as I want him to play Jameis and be fun, like, it's just, like, I get it. It's not going to happen. That's wishful thinking. You got to get a quarterback. And my framing on this has kind of changed. I think we get so obsessed with value. You know, we treat it like as if we're grading each other's fantasy drafts. And the reality is, though, if you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. And you're going to be searching for one anyway. If you've got a conviction and you think the guy can play, take him. And then I did what all fans do when you talk yourself into it. I went and watched the throw from the Gator Bowl against Duke. And I still think it's the greatest throw I've ever seen. So I just watched that 500 times. I'm all in. I'm on the hype train. It worked out pretty well for me the last time the Giants traded up in the first round to take an Ole Miss quarterback. I'll say it's going to work out again. Why not?
I love it, man. I love that Brian Daboll, they did their homework. You know, we once again, going back to Shedeur, we got enamored with, oh, they're flying out the boulder. Well, as we also learned, they flew to Oxford.
And Tuscaloosa?
Tuscaloosa. They talked to Tyler Shuck. They talked to everybody. They were crossing the T's, dotting the I's. And ultimately, this was the guy that they liked. But they did the smart thing, unlike 2019, where they overdrafted a mediocre quarterback at 6. They drafted...
Was it 6?
I'm six.
Oh, God.
They drafted what is believed to be one of, what, two true blue chip prospects in this draft.
Yeah.
The dude is an absolute freakazoid. Hopefully he's fully healthy. I think he will be.
We also picked up Thibodeau's option. Like, I honestly, it's like, all right, maybe we still can't cover, but our defensive line might be pretty good. Dex is still.
They made a couple additions on the back end as well already.
And here's the thing, man. You know, Atlanta, while I actually liked what they did trading back in to get James Pierce, they also gave up a first next year, and the Giants gave up a third next year. Like, decent, but not too much. And that's where I think the Giants, I thought, did a really nice job. Was, I know they were calling up to, what, try to get to 22, try to get to 23. They landed on 25 before the Rams, who may have had some interest potentially in Dart. And I feel like they just played it well. And Joe Shane, for all the crap that he gets, probably most, a lot of it deserved. I thought he did a good job last night, all in all, to go up, get their guy, not overdraft. You got maybe the best prospect in the whole draft, maybe, in Abdul Carter. So, yeah, I think Giant fans should be happy about how last night unfolded. And clearly it was the quarterback that they wanted, yep. Right?
No, I mean, they have...
I mean, here's the thing. They wanted Cam Ward, right?
Yeah, they couldn't get him.
Well, they could have. They lost week 17.
Yeah, no, well, I'm still the most upset I've ever been is when they beat the Colts. It was a franchise-altering win in the worst. But the other thing I was thinking about, why was Jalen Milroe there?
I don't know.
Was he just getting catering?
No idea.
Maybe just wanted to wanted to get some Culver's? I don't know.
Also, who's the Alabama guard? Tyler
Booker.
That guy might be the most impressive human being I've ever seen.
Like, massive.
Not only is he massive, then they put him on the mic and he sounds like a Rhodes Scholar. It's like, what? Like this, and then like you put on his tape. It's like, oh, this guy just like beats the crap out of people. It's like that is too impressive.
I was very confused by that selection. Why? Because you just had a Hall of Famer retire in Zach Martin. You're like, we could pick Matthew Golden, or we could just get a guy who's going to destroy people for 10 years. We joked on the air last night that they gave Jerry Jones the wrong coordinates to the draft room.
Yeah.
He's like, where do I go for this? Oh, over here? You're like, yeah. Over there, Jerry. We want Tyler Booker. Just put the pick in now.
Put it in now. Although, I'll give Jerry credit. I think Jerry does kind of believe in line play. I think because
they took Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel. That worked out well.
I think he kind of believes in it. Then the other thing, just the unreal moment, Laura Rutledge, Colleen Wolfe, scooping Schefter. Like, that's the Schefter beat. The we're going to get the scoop of the NFL will announce the schedule in a month. Like, having a product reveal to tell us when they're going to tell us what the schedule is, that's peak NFL.
So, once again, we did it without sound. And I'm like, what's going on right now? Because it was before the Bears pick?
That sounds right, yeah.
So it was almost like they wanted to, hey, let's bring out these two so it's not just a merciless boo the whole time for the Chicago Bears when they make the pick. But how about that was a big upset. Colston Loveland, first tight end selected.
Yeah.
Over Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I did also love Harbaugh, like, just going to take a running back.
It makes no sense. They went out and signed Najee Harris this offseason. Yeah. He's like, I don't
same
care.
Runner. Yeah,
I just want Omari and Hampton.
You know what's better than one running back? Two running backs.
Guys being dudes. Come on now.
They were out of tackles at that point, so we're just going to get a running back. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the games we're looking forward to this weekend. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company. 92.9.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
9FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, we got more NBA playoffs. NHL playoffs are rolling around. We've also got rounds 2 and 3 tonight of the NFL draft. What are you looking forward to most this weekend?
As I already stated, I love the NFL draft, so very intrigued to see some of these picks. Obviously, the Shedeur Sanders situation is interesting. The betting odds. And now, once again, I will preface this. Betting odds are mainly moving on action and guesses, not necessarily inside info. But I've been told by a buddy of mine up in Cleveland who does some media work that he's pretty confident the Browns are not taking a quarterback at 33 or 36. The Saints have reportedly said they will not be taking Sanders. That's been reported. They didn't say that. So it seems like the Raiders or maybe the Steelers. Maybe that's still alive. But curious to see how that unfolds there. But, you know how it works, man. There's going to be a bunch of wide receivers that are going to get selected. Luther Burden, Trey Harris, Jaden Higgins, the kid from Iowa State.
I think both Iowa State kids are available, right?
Yeah. Both are, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Jalen Noel is the other. That teams are going to fall in love with, you know, and that's the beauty. Travion Henderson's going to be a really good pickup. These, you know, I'll say this about the running back room. We were just talking about Omarion Hampton going to the Chargers, and last night we were like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Three, four, maybe five of these dudes are going to be really productive that are going to be selected tonight. I mean, this is a loaded running back class. So curious to see where all those guys ultimately fall, tonight in the NFL draft. And then also tonight, man, I think Lakers, Minnesota, I think will be a really good atmosphere in Minneapolis. Indiana, Milwaukee, I think should be a pretty good atmosphere. Those two teams, really no love lost between those two between those two squads. And then I love hockey. I love the playoff hockey, I should say. And I think LA, Edmonton, late night.
Yeah.
Edmonton down 0-2. I think you're going to see a team that's on fire. So I did bet Edmonton on the money line at minus 140. So I did take a little Oiler action here to get on the board against the Kings.
George, you can hop in here. I think Hampton's a good running back.
Yeah.
What does he do better than Travion Henderson? I don't understand, I thought Henderson was the better back.
Yeah, I really liked Henderson. It also could have been, I don't know, just some of the between the tackles work that we don't see Henderson do a lot. But that also could just be personnel because they had Judkins for that as their kind of bell cow, whereas Henderson is going to be, zone runs, outside the tackles, receiving, stuff like that.
And maybe just Harbaugh refusing to take an Ohio State running back.
Maybe. I mean, the one I like that's in between here is the kid from Iowa, Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, no,
he's like a dog.
Who's going to lose their mind is when Cam Scadabo gets picked too.
Yeah, I am.
He's fun.
I'm kicking myself. George and I kind of. I should have taken some action on like Walter Nolan under.
Yeah.
Because I was just convinced. I was like, man, this guy can play. And when you heard like the, there's red flag questions. It's like. There were some effort questions when he was at A&M. Everyone last year when he was at Ole Miss, like the guy played through injuries. The guy was just an animal, and that was the one that I'm kicking myself. I didn't throw a little action down on.
Yeah, and that's the tricky part too with the draft, right? Is there's not action to be had on all of these players, unfortunately. And he was a guy that in my mock I put at 11 because there was a lot of steam. McShay had him going 8. I think it was might have been Schrager had him going 11 in his report. He had, he would be surprised if he fell at the top 15, ultimately went 16. I'll say this real quickly, though, circling back to the draft, and if you ever want to get involved with it from a betting standpoint, it's hard, but if you do your homework, you should be fine. Like Albert Breer gave us an answer to a test on Monday. He put in his notes that Will Johnson has a knee issue.
Yeah,
and he's been flagged. He's gonna drop. And like, Circa opened up odds here in town on Monday at 13.5 on Will Johnson, and that thing got I think went off in like the 20s. Like, if you do your homework, it's not always gonna come home, but you can find some. You could find some just nuggets. You're like, okay, that's happening. Like to your point about Walter Nolan, it was like the dude's just a freakazoid. He's gonna get drafted high by somebody. And that is ultimately the case. The it was interesting that the the guard from North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Everybody had him mocked 18 to Seattle, and he went 18 to Seattle. Yeah.
No, I think it proved the books were pretty accurate too. Like most of the lines they had were good lines. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. I got to get a Coach John Gruden. Tell you what, man, I loved all my draft picks. If I had some players that didn't perform that they say were busts, well, I'm convinced if I was still coaching, they wouldn't be busts. I'm all in on this version of Gruden.
I love it.
It's
him getting the boxes of swag.
The unboxings have been tremendous. The quarterback stuff he does is great. Great stuff. All right, my man. Have a great weekend.
All right, dude. See ya.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.